It is Monday. That means it's time for the Where Eagles Dare podcast live stream with Lee and Tubby. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, YouTube, Twitch, we thank you for joining us this evening or whenever you decide to watch it. Otherwise, you're probably listening to us on your favorite podcast provider, and we appreciate that too, whether you're on Audible or Spotify or Amazon Music or Apple Podcasts or Castro Podcaster, all the ones out there. We're glad to be here, even though I tell you what, I almost didn't want to be here. I contemplated just saying, you know what, to heck with this podcast, I'm done. I mean, I'm laughing, but I'm not laughing. I'm really. We talked a little bit before the show today, and I'm ticked off. This game Sunday was a winnable, very winnable game. It is a game against a 3-7 team that a team that is good enough to get to the playoffs, which we thought the Eagles were. It should have happened. It should have been an easy game. It should have been like the Detroit game. And yet it was a struggle from start to finish, and the Eagles put up a 7th spot, which is just embarrassing compared to what we thought going in. So we are here. I'm not in the best frame of mind to do the podcast this week. I'm pretty ticked off. So how do you feel after that debacle on Sunday?
I mean, I echo your sentiment. Yeah, it's a bad loss. It was a really bad loss, especially if we're thinking about, you know, getting into the playoffs. This is a team you have to beat. You know, Giants, you know, they won a few games here or there. They're on a terrible squad, but you have to be able to beat this squad 100%. There's nothing really special about them. Saquon is still not at 100%. You're supposed to be able to beat this team, and we did not do that at all. We definitely went backwards a little bit.
Exactly. And I said before, during our preview last week, I said the one thing that I did respect was the Giants' defense. And I pointed out that they were ball hawks with the interceptions, and that was something that we had to watch out for. Mm-hmm. But if I knew that, the Eagles' coaching staff should have known that, and they definitely should have been coaching Hurts on that, because he throws 3 picks on the day. And these weren't just effort that, where the Giants' DBs made great, outstanding picks or a tip ball. These were bad, 3 bad interceptions. The first one to Quez Watkins, where they could at least got a field goal out of it. I don't know what happened there. The announcer said that there might have been a little bit of interference, but conveniently didn't show a replay. It was just a bad interception, which kind of let the air out to start with.
Yeah.
And then it just got worse, especially the one at the half, where they again had a chance for a field goal. They could have easily been up 6-3 going into the half, at least. And instead of going for the field goal with a few seconds left, they decide one more play into the end zone. It was a bad interception. I don't know what happened with Boston Scott again. If Hurts is trying to throw timing routes and Scott fell down or got knocked down, I will say this, and I'm going to say this once and then I'll get it out of the way. There was some definite home cooking there going on with the refs. Not in the realm of penalties called, because if you look at the stats, there wasn't a lot of penalties called against either team, to be honest with you. So penalties right there, it was 4 were called on the Eagles for 26 yards and 2 on the Giants for 15 yards. But where there was home cooking was the timing of certain calls or the lack of calls.
Right, you know, definitely the timing.
The Steven Nelson interference in the end zone was near the end of the game was ridiculous. I know he had his arm around the guy's waist, but come on. I've seen that play a million times and it doesn't happen. And then there were other times, like I said, if a player got knocked down, their defensive backs were having their way with our receivers. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of holding going on, a lot of wrapping up the arms as the balls were coming in. But that doesn't excuse throwing into those trafficked areas. And it doesn't excuse Jalen Hurts staring down his wide receivers before he throws those balls either. And that was some of the things that he did mechanically that was upsetting to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, the interceptions did look weird, like I said, especially the one, because they were almost like they were too easy. The one where Quez, like you said, you don't really see. I don't know if Quez sits down there and thinks the ball is coming straight or he doesn't continue. It looked like, I don't know if that was just bad communication, because sometimes when you do see a really, really bad pick, there most of the time there's miscommunication. But to the double coverage ball, and then the one with Scott, I'm not really sure what happened there either. There's no way he just throws it right to the Giants player, but you see Scott tumble. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, did Scott, what the hell happened to Scott there? So they just look that much worse,
yeah,
because it's not even an eagle around when the pick is being made. So it's like, but you still, if it's not, you don't even have to force that ball anyway at the end of the half. You go 92 yards on that drive, 15 plays just to throw that pick there when you have to go, and you almost owe it to your team because the offense hasn't played that well. You come out, punt, interception, punt, and now on your fourth drive, you finally looking like you can get some points. You know, they trust you out there with the clock management. It's part of clock management. You have 8 seconds and you go, okay, I wasn't mad at the play call. I think I text you that. So I just wish he threw the ball out of bounds. Cause that was, you know, that's pretty elementary there. That's just kind of, you know, just trying to force a play when you're not down 20, you're not down 30, where you need to force a touchdown. If anything, hey, take what the defense give you, throw the ball out of bounds, give Jake Elliott a shot. He's been on a nice little streak. At least salvage the half,
right,
by going in 3-3, where it's some type of momentum. So yeah, when you throw that pick there, and then you come out, it was just with that pick, and then even after the second half, we come out and then we go 4 and out rather than 3 and out, and that just leaves not a short field, but just good field position for the Giants. So it was like we got back to back. We have a bad pick at the end of the half, then we come back out. You know, Jalen waves off the punt team,
yeah,
or field goal team. I'm not really sure. I think it was the punt
team. They were going to punt. Mm-hmm. And again, at 4th and 1, you know, in the second half where we need points, mm-hmm, points are at a premium. This is a low scoring game. And right now, I think at that point, it was just still 3-0.
Right.
And he waves off the you know, and to Sirianni said, yeah, go for it. But you're 4th and 1. Why are you not running a quarterback sneak there? Why are you trying to throw a pass to Rager? And again, the thing that I had a problem with the going for it at the end of the half was that the Giants defensive, their pass rush was getting through the line fairly easily. They were, mm-hmm, they were putting Hurts, you know, out of position. They were flushing him pretty good. You know, not too many sacks on the day, but they put a lot of pressure on him and moved him around. And I was afraid at the end of the half. I'm like, just kick the field goal. You did what you could do. I just kicked the field goal. There's not enough time to play around with. You don't have any more timeouts. Right. Kick the field goal and don't even put a pressure where the ball can be snapped and he could get sacked really quick. Just kick the field goal. Don't even risk it. And then the second one, like you said, it was a 4th and 1, and you don't run a quarterback sneak. And how many times have we said this year, you either run the ball with Howard, who's out, or you quarterback, mm-hmm, sneak it. And that was the worst. You call a timeout, something, to get your act together before you go on a 4th down. And then what ends up happening is the Giants come down and score their only touchdown of the game on the very next possession. So it's really frustrating. And like you said, that brings us to our first. Hell to the no, to the no, 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 no. Our first hell to the no of the day, because we've got a few. This whole game was hell to the no. I'm telling you, for me, it was like everything they did was embarrassing. And like you said, at the end of the half, our own Shady McCoy, running back for the Eagles, tweeted right afterwards, throw it away and take the three. This is high school stuff. Why are you trying to force it in there at the end of the half? So that was Shady throwing some shade right there on Jalen Hurts. And he, you know, we have praised Jalen a lot this year. We've given a lot of credit for his leadership, especially in these last 3 out of 4 games where they almost even won 4 straight if they would have beat the Chargers. And he has played really well in those games. But to the same token, he crapped the bed. It was just a bad performance all around. He did not look in control. It mechanically, he looked bad. And the only times he looked good was when he took off running and he shows what he can do with his legs. But that was on the one touchdown drive the Eagles had, which was a 10 plus play drive with no pass completions. Mm-hmm. First team this season to do it. And we're in week 12. And that was all with his legs. That was all with the running game. That was all with Sanders. And up until that point, I was screaming at you, why aren't the Eagles running the football? Because, again, this now goes on to Sirianni as well as Hurts. Because up to that point, up to that drive, and that was late in the third quarter, the Eagles had 12 carries outside of Hurts. That's unacceptable. When we've been talking about, you've been talking about this run first offense. Yet how many times in that first half when it was third and short or even third and six, they decided to go for some sort of slant pass or quick pass that was always covered. Not really going downfield. They're going for intermediate passes that the Giants are swarming. To me, that's we reverted as a coaching staff to going for that garbage. So I hate to go on a run there, but this is just I am just beside myself with how so many things that went wrong in this game.
Yeah, man. You know, and there were just so many mistakes. We had our backup center comes in. He gets two really big holding calls that cost a touchdown.
Huge.
When Bart Scott scored, that was really huge. Ward dropped a touchdown, easy touchdown on that quick out. It's like, man, you know, you had some really bad throws for sure. Yeah. But when we did execute, it didn't go in our favor either. Yeah. Like I said, that Ward drop was huge. It's a touchdown. It is what it is. It's a touchdown. You know, no matter what happened on that drive, even the ones that you could even salvage and get back. Like that Bart Scott, that hold was terrible. And it was a bad hold.
Yeah, it was horrible.
It was a bad hold.
It wasn't even near the
play.
You
come back and hook him like that. You come back and hook him like that. That takes touchdowns off the board, man. So we know when the Eagles have success, Hurts is throwing the ball between 15 to 20 times. That's kind of that range. He threw 31 times this game in a game that we weren't down massively. So what changed?
Yeah.
You know, you made the point earlier, like, you know, 12 carries outside of Hurts. So what changed? You know, why don't we go into this game with the same mentality that we've had in previous games?
Yeah.
You have the random down the field throws. Just like, and they're always double covered. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, and then some plays, it's almost like, I don't know if this is a designed rollout, but it's like they're cutting off half of the field and it's like the defense is just going over there and it's all these double coverage. What you don't see is a lot of separation either from the wide receivers. You don't, everything is tight for sure. So you shouldn't throw it there, but it's like, damn, you don't really see a lot of separation from our receivers. You'll see Goddard break loose a couple times that they're not checking him off the line. Mm-hmm. But even when Devontae Smith gets the ball sometimes, it's like still somebody like right there, you know, where he'll get a few and then go down. We haven't had a lot of breakout yak, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, those yards, you know, yards after the catch or whatever, you know, where you catch the ball and our receivers can break it for, you know, a 40, 50-yard run. None of that. Nothing's explosive. Even when they do get the ball, that screen is just – the screen should be taken out, man, because – we never executed well. The Giants executed their screens way better than we did. And they were wide open when they were like I remember one screen that threw, I said, damn, that's a good screen. It wasn't an eagle around.
Yeah.
Well, that's, every time we're
that's because they're playing that deep zone and they don't have a man on the running back. They're playing, they vacate the middle. So ridiculous. I texted a friend of mine who's a Giants fan. He was giving me crap about the game. And he was like, well, your defense seems to be playing good. And I'm like, looks can be deceiving. They may only have scored 13 points, but this is a bad offensive team. I respect the Giants defense, but it's bad offensively. So 13 points, but yet they held the ball. The time of possession was what was crazy because they ended up having it 32 minutes to our 27:58. This is a bad offensive football team that held the ball for more than the Eagles did. It was supposed to be better offensively. So how
all four Eagles penalties were crucial penalties.
Oh, they were.
They may say 26 yards, but they were crucial. We mentioned the Slay.
Yeah, the two
Nelson,
holds.
I'm sorry.
The Steven Nelson interference. The
Nelson
two holds.
And the two holds. I don't remember the other one, but Nelson and then the two holds were massive. Those holds came on massive plays.
Yeah, and the fact
massive
plays. And the fact that they weren't calling, you know, interference. The Eagles receivers were getting mauled. But again, it was going both ways. The Eagles, you know, up until the Nelson thing, were getting away with a little bit of
no doubt.
Chippiness.
I do agree with that. They let the corners play. They let them play.
That takes, even though we can kind of cry about the refs. Do you take that out of the equation? There was some bad stuff, but it didn't definitely dictate the game. Like you said, just mistakes. But the Boston Scott fumble near the end of the game.
Oh my goodness.
When you have all your timeouts, and then it puts us on our heels. We still have a chance to a touchdown wins the game 14-13, and you coughed the ball up. There was too many things to count. That's why it was just a bad effort all the way around. Because I know one of the things I saw today was that the people were like, "Well, the defense played great." I don't agree with that. I think they played good. I thought they got a few stops on the run. They played the run extremely well because they shut Saquon Barkley down except for the one big run he had at the start of the second half. Other than that, the run game was non-existent. But that passing game was where I thought that the Eagles went back to the prevent. And like I was saying earlier, I text my friend. We were texting back and forth, and he says, "You know, the defense is playing good." I said, "Take another look. Look at how deep our defensive backs are. And they're not able to cover the screens. They're not able to cover flat passes because they're vacating the middle." I said, "They're playing prevent defense." And he came back and he goes, "Oh, hell, you're right, man." He was like, "How are they playing prevent in the third quarter when they don't even have a lead?" I'm like, "I don't know. I don't know why they play prevent." And that's what they're playing. Let's not mistake it. Let's take a look at the numbers for Daniel Jones. And if you look at his passing yards, look at the middle. 5 of 7 for 32 yards and a touchdown. 2 of 4 for 37 yards and 4 out of 6 for 40 yards. This is the middle that the Eagles vacate. This is the telling stat right here. Don't even look at the fact that, you know, he has 1 for 1 deep and then 2 for 3 deep over the middle. I mean, this is a guy that, yeah, he only passed for 202 yards. But if you go back and watch the game, the defense does not deserve a lot of credit. Granted, they kept us in the game, but this is a bad offensive team. If this were the Cowboys, if this were any of the teams we played previously that had our lunch, the numbers would have been over the... This is a quarterback, mind you, Daniel Jones, that cannot stop throwing interceptions. This right. is the same giant friend. One of his biggest gripes about Jones is his turnover ratio. Eagles didn't put any pressure off on him, didn't move him off the spot, and didn't force an interception. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about this defense reverting along with the offense to the same garbage they've been doing in our losses. And they don't seem to learn from it. And that's what's frustrating to me. And we ain't even talked about the man of the hour, but we'll get there. Because there's one guy that's right, wearing the big scarlet letter right now for the blame in this game.
I mean, I guess we have progressed to him at this point. We've covered Hurts. We covered the bad penalties.
Well, then I'll let you talk about this.
We've covered the coaching. We've covered the bad defensive calls.
So another.
And now, you know. Yes, sir. This is a well-deserved. When I text you, I said, man, even Aguilar would have made those catches. And that is a shot at Rager. Cause that, you know, man, look, you know you're already in the doghouse. I know you see your own stat lines when you're going minus this and minus that. It's just time for Rager to be a healthy scratch at this point. He has too many responsibilities on the Eagles for his lack of productivity. He's on our special teams. He's our return on kickoffs. He's our return on punts. He goes nowhere on the punt.
No.
It's like he's just there. Maybe he's the only one that can catch punts. But I would much rather have Gainwell. And I said this last week. I would much rather have Gainwell. Forget just putting Gainwell in and flaring him all the way out to the side. Put him in where he can make some plays because Gainwell can make plays. Rager, at this point, yeah, man, he's just not good for the squad right now, man. I think, you know, if somebody gets hurt, I think we should put him in or something like that, you know, as like a fourth wide receiver. I don't know what he does in practice to get this much responsibility during game day.
You know, it's funny you say that is because somebody said on the message boards today, I was reading Bleeding Green Nation, and somebody said, if Sirianni talks one more time about the awesome practices he has, I'm going to personally go down to the NovaCare complex and beat his ass with a stick. Because we don't care how awesome your practices are or how great Jalen Rager is practice. Numbers speak for themselves. Right now, on the season, through 12 games, Jalen Rager has 25 catches for 201 yards. A number one draft pick, drafted ahead of Justin Jefferson, who is killing in the league right now. So we want to talk about who's to blame for this giant loss. We already talked about Sirianni. We already talked about Hurts. We already talked about Rager. Got to go back to Howie. It always falls back to Howie and his damn. Arthega-Whiteside had one catch in this game, second round pick from the year previous. And Rager, of course, on the first one, this is right near the end of the game. It was like the second to last offensive play we had. And we talked about the ball was underthrown, but how many other receivers make that catch? It hits him in the dang face, and he can't catch the ball. He got a guy around him. And again, if you look at it, I think I texted you, how is that not interference? Because dude was wrapped around him from the get-go, from the jump. Mm-hmm. Still should have caught the ball. But you see right there where they didn't get the call, but it was even worse when you see it live. That he was wrapped up before the ball even hit him in the face,
right?
Which I thought was ridiculous. Again, no call. And then the other one right there at the end of the game, I mean, it hits him in the hands. You know, and we talked about, you talked about receivers not getting open, like, you know, but Smith on that final play, if you watch back, wide open.
He was open. I remember that for sure.
Wide open. Mm-hmm. And yet we go to Rager, who hasn't caught anything, who's not catching anything. We follow his stat line every week, and we've criticized, we've noticed this. And if he catches it, he's a hero, and it goes right through his hands. You know, somebody posted something up on Facebook today, a side-by-side comparison. Remember when J.J. Arcega-Whiteside dropped a catch against the Lions 2 years ago? And it was the same situation. We drafted him second. He wasn't doing anything on the field. He comes in the game. Wentz has to go deep. If he catches it, he wins it. Same play, right through the hands at the goal line. And that's what Rager just gave us. So it's when you're doing things like that, you get noticed. And when you're not returning punts, like you said, Ward could return punts. Gainwell can return punts. I'm tired of seeing this guy either just fair catch it or go down, do a couple dance moves. But he does nothing on that field that's worth drafting him number one overall. And one thing that really upset me today, I saw again on the Eagles news, is that the press conference has been digging, you know, Sirianni, are you going to bench Rager? Are you going to bench Rager? And he came out and said, no, not right now, because he gives us the best chance to win. And I'm like, how?
Wow.
We truly don't have a number two or number three wide receiver right now. And that's what's really killing us. If anything, Goddard's our number two. Because right now, even Quez is not doing the job, and Rager's definitely not doing the job. Yeah. So where do we go from here? It's a really big liability going forward when we've got one good wide receiver, one good tight end, and the rest of the guys are they're just there.
You know, on that last drive, last two drives, Smith wasn't even targeted. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Last two drives. So on the, last two drives is what it is. Last two drives. Now, granted, one of them was a fumble by Scott, if you will. You know, if you want to be that technical, it was a turnover the drive previous to that. But even the one where we punted before the fumble, just maybe like the last three, he just wasn't really targeted as much. And you think on that last drive, man, go to Smith. You have the best rapport. Smith or Goddard should get those pressure passes. Smith or Goddard. Because you throw it to Watkins in Denver, he drops it. You throw it to Rager, he drops it. It's just like, man, look, just stick with what's working. And when you're going to Smith, Goddard, and running the ball in 20 passes or less, the Eagles simply have success, man. So, you know, we did lose. We didn't mention this, but we did lose Sanders. You know, even though Bart Scott came in and ran well, we did lose another running back. So Sanders comes back, and now he's right back out. So moving forward, it's like, man, Bart Scott is our legit starting running back.
Right.
Right now, you know, how does that work, man? Bart Scott's little, man. I've seen him at the game. He's little, man. So now we're down to Scott and Gainwell.
They could force Howard back. They said Howard, they really don't want to rush him back before the bye, but they could. That's a possibility. But before Sanders went out, and we don't have the injury report on Sanders just yet, but he was running the ball extremely well. 9 carries for 64 yards, 7.1 yard carry average. And you know, Scott had 64 yards as well, but only a 4.3 yards per carry average. So that does make a big difference. I think it's going to hurt us in the long run, especially the game we've got coming up. It should be a gimme, but with this team, I got nothing right now. I don't know if it's a gimme. I definitely, when we do the preview, I don't know who I'm taking at this point. I just don't know. It's because I don't know what Eagles team's going to show up, and I'm tired of saying that. I'm tired of saying that I don't know what Eagles team should show up. We should know by now and expect the same team to come out each week, the same team that beat the Lions and the Saints recently. it definitely should be a little bit easier, but it isn't. The one thing I will say, though, is I've got one more. And this one is the simple one. I wrote up a play for the Eagles offense, for Nick Sirianni, and I'm going to email this to him. And I want him every time he thinks about passing the ball, I want him to run this play. It's called Run Through a Mother Face, if you can see. And I will post this clip as our GIF for the episode. But it's just run. It's a Madden play. It's a friggin' just a slam right or slam left, if you will, and just run. And he's even got an I formation fullback in there. It's easy, you know. Put Howard in there as fullback, or actually put Goddard or what's a Stoll in there as fullback, and let him just run the ball. Don't. Whenever you're thinking about passing, unless it's third and long, just run the ball. If it's third and six, run the ball. If it's third and seven, run the ball. Just run the ball. That's all you got to do. The Eagles, one touchdown they score. 10 rushes. 10 plus. I'm not sure what the actual number was. No passes. Just run the ball. That's if we're going to win games, that's what worked for us. Why'd you get away from it? And especially going up against a Jet defense coming up that gives up points on the ground. Run the ball. If they don't, I tell you what, man. Oh, I tell you what. If they lose to the Jets, whoo. I'm going to be upset.
Yeah, no matter how it happened. This last Giants game is now my new number one disappointed. Before that, the Niners game was my number one disappointing game of the season. But now it's the Giants game, and I don't care what happens in that Jets game. We lose to the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
That will immediately go to my number one at the top. They thinking about putting Mike White back in. We hope he has a four-pick game against us because I guess Wilson isn't really cutting it. I haven't watched the Jets game, to be fair, but every time I see the stat line, it's never really that impressive.
Maybe we could face Flacco, you know.
That would be epic.
That would be good. But
hey, at least he would know exactly where to throw at on our defense.
But it's the problem. That's what I'm saying. If this defense comes out and plays the same, giving up the middle again against the Jets, they will take that all day.
Right.
They will take that over the middle. If you're going to vacate the middle and just throw little dinks and dunks, that's what they'll do. And that's what gives up time of possession. That's what keeps our defense out on the field, like I've said before, keeps our offense off the field. So Gannon has a big responsibility against the Jets. If you're going to beat a 3-8 team going into our bye week where we need to salvage some dignity right now, that's what this Sunday is going to be all about, salvaging dignity going into the bye and beating a 3-8 team that should be beaten. So we'll preview that game on Wednesday night, but it just is a after effect of this game this past Sunday that has to be mentioned because they're staying in New York. They're not going very far. It's just the same stadium, which is crazy when you think about it, playing in the same stadium 2 weeks in a row against two different New York teams, but that's what's happening. And what are they going to do? What will they learn from this mistake? You know, the thing is when Devontae Smith, again, he wears his heart on his sleeve. And when he was missed, he took his helmet off and threw it on that last play, on that last offensive play to Rager. And I know that means something in that locker room. But this young kid, he's number one draft pick, but he's the star right now. Jalen Hurts isn't the star of this team. Devontae Smith is the one that's been turning people's heads.
Right.
And when he's throwing his helmet and he's frustrated because of bad quarterback play, not seeing him open, and just overall bad play, then the team's got to wake up. I'm glad he did it. I hope that they do pay attention and going forward, do better. That's all he has. Do better.
I'm with you, man. It's a bad loss. It's like it's so hard to talk about. It's a bad loss.
It is.
Just want to move on from it. Man.
Then let's do that.
We're riding high.
Let's move on. I don't want to talk anymore about it anyway. It was a bad day. We were texting back and forth a lot. We knew what was going on. We knew. We could see it. I told everybody that texted me because the thing is being an Eagle fan, for some reason, that attracts like all the friends of yours that don't like the Eagles or even just want to just poke at you. Like just coming out of the woodwork or losing to a Giant team, they were just all over me. So it was like, what can I do? You know, I'm defending myself all day against this bad team. I'm telling you, this is exactly what's wrong. with this team right now, and there's a lot to fix. It raises serious questions that we're going to hope gets answered. The Eagles, we'll talk about it on Wednesday, but the Eagles still have a favorable schedule if they can pull their head out and start playing Eagle football like they did prior to this debacle on Sunday. And we know this. Yeah. So, thanks for catching us again. If you're on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook Live, we appreciate you tuning in, even on the replays. Thank you very much. You also, if you're catching us on the podcast providers, Spotify or Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Castro, Podcaster, and all the others, Stitcher seems to be a popular one. We thank you for that as well. Make sure you always subscribe on both so you get notified when we go live or when we got a new episode out. And if you want to email us, you can email us at lee.bird, that's B-Y-R-D, .eaglesdare@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you and hear if you have any comments or suggestions for the show. Till then, we're going to check you out on Wednesday when we preview the upcoming matchup with the Jets leading into the bye week. So I am Lee, and with me always is Tubby for his parting words.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
And I'll follow that up with, please go Birds. Please. Please. We'll see you Wednesday.